Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. And we got our good friend Jim Copeland back with us. Jim's is director of policy, of legal policy, I should say, director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And Jim is the author of a book called Trial Lawyer Inc. Trial Lawyers Inc. K Street, the K Street Influence. And Jim, who else contributed to that document?
Well, this one really was me. I mean, we put it together. We had a lot of staff, of course, in terms of editing and graphic design and things like this. I was the primary author of this one.
Right.
Some of our earlier Trial Lawyers Inc. reports, we've had other outside contributors that we brought in. For instance, when we did our asbestos report that we talked to you about a couple years ago, mm-hmm. we had an investigative reporter from Oklahoma called John Wiley who helped us do some of that research and things like this. So this is actually the 14th publication in this series that we've put out and the 6th full-length publication. So we've done a lot of these in the last 7 years. And this one's getting a lot of attention. And the reason it's getting a lot of attention is obviously because it's talking about the political process. And people are really interested in the political process, and they're sort of fed up with the political process. And that's true for both parties. But
exactly.
But it's really the Democratic leadership that's got the strong ties to the trial bar. There are a couple Republicans that have some ties to the trial bar.
Now, the trial bar, a lot of people may not be familiar with that term. Those are the lawyers who are litigators.
When I say that, I mean the personal injury lawyers, the folks you see advertising on TV. They're doing mass tort litigation and class action litigation,
right,
and medical malpractice litigation. And they're talking about the stuff going on with health care. If the president had come out and tried to say, well, we're going to try to build some tort reform into this from the get-go, we're going to try to do some of the other things Republicans are interested in, the health savings accounts or interstate competition or what have
you. But that's antithetical to who they are.
Well, yeah, he might have been able to build a coalition there and a sort of centrist coalition on this, but he turned it over to Pelosi, and so that was never going to happen. And it was particularly never going to get through the Senate.
Now, Jim, you make it sound like, though, that if President Obama hadn't turned it over to Pelosi, that he would have come up with something different. And I think I don't know that you mean that, but I don't want to give that impression. At least I don't feel that way. I don't think if Obama had taken the leadership, President Obama had taken the leadership on the health care reform, he would have said, well, we got to come up with some kind of tort reform. I don't think he's any different than they are on this issue.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with you on that. I mean, he obviously doesn't want to upset his Democratic leadership in the Congress, but in terms of the financial dollars, he's got a very, very broad base of fundraising support. By contrast, Harry Reid, the majority leader of the Senate, Democrat from Nevada, four of his top seven contributors are out-of-state plaintiffs' law firms.
Yeah.
Dick Durbin, the majority whip, the number two guy in the Senate, Democrat from Illinois, his top two contributors are plaintiffs' law firms.
Yeah.
Seven of his top 20 contributors are plaintiffs' law firms. So these guys are wholly dependent on the personal injury attorneys to give them a huge chunk of their money. And that really ties their hands, regardless of what they think in policy terms.
I see your point from a financial motivation, but I think from a philosophical motivation, I think that maybe Obama's attitude is less financial than it is philosophical. But the bottom line of the conversation today is that one of the reasons why healthcare reform is not likely to pass this year and has been so contentious between the parties has been because it is what's been proposed by the congressional leadership has been completely devoid of any kind of tort reform.
I think that's right, and I mean, when you look at it, Howard Dean, the former Democratic National Committee chair, who actually is a medical doctor, he said that in August. He said, the reason why there's no tort reform in the bills is because the folks drafting it didn't want to upset the trial bar. That's just a fact.
Howard Dean said that, the chairman of the Democrat
exactly.
Party.
And, but 82% of the American public wants there to be some sort of liability reform in the health care reform bill.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons it's unpopular. The trial lawyers, the unions, the folks that are the core constituency for the Democratic leadership in Congress aren't having to make sacrifices in this bill, and the public is aware of that.
And you think that the reason why that there was no tort reform in this bill? Well, of course, how long? We've had very little tort reform at all, other than we had a little bit in the last few years. But
we've had two significant positive changes in the last 15 years.
One was
so
the class action
Congress.
Just a few years ago.
Class action one being the most recent in 2005, and Obama, when he was a senator, actually voted for that. Unlike Reid and Durbin and Hillary Clinton and some of these others. So that's why I tend to think that if there were Republican leadership in Congress and they passed certain litigation reform bills, I don't think it's inconceivable that there could be a bill that Obama might sign. He's not going to drive it through. But I think if the congressional leadership changed hands, he might be open to signing certain types of litigation reform.
Right, right. Jim, give us the website, please.
The website for our report is www.triallawyersinc.com. That's triallawyersinc.com.
Can they get the report for free?
You can get the report for free. It's available. All the old reports are available. You can download a PDF, and you can contact us if you want us to send you a hard copy.
Triallawyersinc.com, and the other website is manhattan-institute.org. Is that correct?
That's right, well as pointoflaw.com, which has ongoing commentary.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jim Copeland, what's the likelihood of actually making a change with this the tort reform in the health care bill? Stay with us, Tint Hill. Little Chicago bringing us back 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Jim Copeland is our guest. He's with the Manhattan Institute and also Trial Lawyers Inc., right, Jim?
Trial Lawyers Inc. Is our series of reports. We just put out our 14th, and it's available at triallawyersinc.com.
So check that out, manhattan-institute.org as well. Jim, we were talking earlier about the influence of the trial lawyers, especially the ones who are the personal injury lawyers, the ones who are focusing on who basically made billions of dollars on having access to the some of the things that have happened in the healthcare system. And Jim, nobody is saying that we don't want someone who's been harmed by something that happened in a medical procedure or medicine or whatever. We don't want those people to have some kind of recourse in the court system. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
No, it's important to realize nobody's saying we want to get rid of tort lawsuits altogether. Nobody's saying we don't want to have some coverage for folks, but it's important to realize that this isn't the normal old school sort of tort law. The tort law back when it was starting in the Middle Ages in England was basically the same as the criminal law. And you went to court and the state and the private parties were both in front of you, and it was basically for hitting somebody with a stick, running them over with your horse. All these trespassing on their property, these are the sorts of things that were the traditional torts, and they're clearly things you wanted to discourage. The thing is, now what we've got with tort law, a lot of these torts are things that we want to encourage. We want doctors to deliver babies. Now, sometimes they're going to make mistakes. Sometimes babies are going to be born with problems. Sometimes the doctor's mistakes might cause those problems. But we don't want to discourage doctors from giving babies, and the problem is our tort system does such a bad job of separating out the good lawsuits from the bad lawsuits, and sometimes lay juries in good faith really can't tell. They may be sympathetic for the couple that's had a baby born with a defect, But they're not scientists, and even the scientists can't necessarily tell what the cause is for some of these things. So what we've got is a situation where we've got maternity wards closing and obstetricians deciding they don't want to deliver babies anymore
because
and just going
of the cost
to
of insurance.
Gynecology. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what do you think are the chances that we're going to be able to avoid, we're going to be able to get some kind of tort reform? Is that going to be one of the main things that will prevent anything from happening from a bipartisan standpoint?
Well, I mean, I think bipartisan standpoint, I think at this point the elections are looming. I think the Obama administration, there was a reason why they wanted to get it done before the recess in the summer, and then why they wanted to get it done before Thanksgiving, and then why they wanted to get it done for Christmas. I think as the elections get closer and closer, it's going to be harder and harder to get Republicans to sign on to something. You could throw tort reform into the bill, but that doesn't mean Republicans would necessarily sign on. It doesn't mean I would sign on. I mean, I work on legal reform, but these bills are badly flawed. And even if you put some tort reform in the bill, it would have to be a dramatic litigation overhaul for me to want to sign on to it. And that would include things like loser pays and all sorts of stuff that they're just not going to do. So I don't think that it's as simple as saying, I'm going to add tort reform to the bill. Republicans are going to sign on because
it's got a lot more problems. I agree with you, Jim. As we wrap up our visit, what would you say is the impact of lawsuit abuse on America's competitiveness?
It's unambiguously negative, and there's lots of ways to count this. The direct costs, which we can get from the insurance proceeds that go to cover litigation expenses, is about $250 billion a year, a little under 2% of the economy. The indirect costs, the defensive medicine where doctors are doing needless tests and referrals, the foregone research and investment, this cost is probably multiples of that. But even just looking at the direct costs, our tort litigation system costs twice as much as Germany's, three times as much as Britain's or France's. Clearly, our businesses are at a disadvantage.
It's the only thing, and I've said this before, it's the only thing that I envy about the Europeans is their tort system.
Their tort system's clearly better. I think there may be a couple other things out there, but in terms of the big ones, this is the one where they've got a clear advantage.
Yeah, well, their cheese. Maybe their cheese is good. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Copeland, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. That's manhattan-institute.org. And TrialLawyersInc.com. That's where you can get this report, by the way. So check that out, too, folks. It's free. Thank you to Jim and his folks there for that. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Whatever you do, don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.